Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Well, Father, we ask that you give wisdom today, Lord, especially to the young people, Lord, especially to the young people who have gone to college, Lord, and hopefully more older people who are still caught up into this wicked ideology. Lord, I ask you to give wisdom today and help us. Give us authority over this, which we can see through our prayers you are casting down, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we're seeing victories all over the world from socialism, and that's because God's people have started to pray. It's crumbling all over the world. It still snatches power sometimes by its lies. Socialism, which leads to communism, and there's not much difference. And kids are coming out of school today, socialists, communists. And it sounds so good, but it's always a bunch of lies, you know, how that it's going to bless the world, you know, with the freedom and all the things that the government can freely supply to us and all this. It's a free lunch. As we know, the Bible doesn't speak such things at all. In the Bible, of course, if a man don't work, he don't eat. So God doesn't agree with that. And socialism doesn't promote working hard to get more, because you don't get more. So if you're not getting any more than the next guy, why work any harder? You know, equality is something the Bible does teach, but it teaches it of free will. Socialism is never free will. It's a bunch of gangsters at the top who have gained power through a bunch of lies. And they live like kings, and the rest all are in poverty. You know, communism the same. And so it's a massive, massive failure that people should quit going to college to find out about. They should just go and study history. It's a massive failure everywhere. And it doesn't work well with the human nature. The human nature has to have some reason to work hard. And basically all that's taken away in socialism and communism. And I remember Putin, you know, after some of Obama's tricks, you know, kind of chastened or chastised the West, you know, telling us, in effect, look, we already tried that. Look what happened. Why is the West going in this direction? It's always a failure. Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, they're turning, you know, I mean, I know they call it Christianity, you know, they base it on Christianity, but it's not really Christianity. It's still religion that they're basing it on. But I'd rather have the Christian religion if it's not controlled by a bunch of socialists, because there is that out there too, than Islam or socialism or communism, many of the isms. Satan is behind all of this. Anything to bring people into bondage and to control them. Karl Marx was a Satanist. You want to read a book, read Richard Wurmbrand's book, Was Marx a Satanist? It definitely was. The foundation of socialism, the foundation of communism is Satanism. What is the foundation of the Democratic so-called party in this country that is ruled by the deep state and so on and so forth? It's Satanism. Why does Satan want to control everybody? Well, the number one reason is they want to destroy Christianity. That is what Satan hates, Jews and Christians, more so Christians than Jews. So I thought I would just share a few things, you know, and then at the end we can join together in a prayer to continue to bring down this evil in the world. Well, Father, thank you for helping us with this and giving us grace. I'm just going to read several articles to you, or parts of articles to you, and point out where this is all headed and where it always ends in disaster and a lot of death. This is an article from What Does It Mean? It's called, I'm not going to read all of it, just a piece of it, Putin-Trump Battle Demonic Socialist Monster. Yeah. Well, that's what it is. It's demonic. Yeah, Satan is at the root of it. It's godless. People that think socialists can come into our government and obey the laws are crazy. Socialism is totally opposite of our laws. And they don't obey them. And they will compel you to do what they want, even if they have to kill you. In fact, they are doing that. So I'm going to read part of this article. It says, a compelling new Ministry of Foreign Affairs report circulating in the Kremlin today states that with President Putin having an approval rating among the Russian people of 64.8%, and President Trump having a 49% approval rating among his American peoples, these two most powerful national populist leaders in the world now tower over their socialist opponents as the long-awaited battle over the soul of Europe is about to be played out in the 23 through 26 May 2019 European Parliament election. Okay, so we know about that. That will determine the future of over 512 million Europeans during a 28-member nation. Now, just keep in mind that this was written on March the 3rd, okay? That comes at the same time Western socialist leaders' popularity continues to plummet, such as Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Yes, y'all need to help him on down, folks. Keep on praying to bring this down, this evil down. They are working to help the deep state in every way that they can, to help the invasion of America, to bring America down. They have to destroy America in order to make it a socialist state. And seeing his popularity dropping to 35%, the British leader, Prime Minister Theresa May, having barely 36% popularity amongst her people, French President Emmanuel Macron, having only 28% of his people's support. I think all of this has dropped since then. And even Western socialist leader, German Chancellor Angela Merkel, watching as her popularity has fallen to 40%, as her and all of these, I believe, have dropped since this was written, as her reign nears its end, thus creating once again a titanic struggle for free peoples against democratic socialism that, after being fought in Europe in 2019, will cross the Atlantic and embroil America in 2020. Quote from Vladimir Putin. He says, any fourth grade history student knows socialism has failed in every country at every time in history. President Obama and his Democrats are either idiots or deliberately trying to destroy their own country. I go by the last part of that. I know it's the truth, and I've been saying it too. A quote from our president here, President Trump, the problem with Venezuela is not that socialism was poorly implemented. It's that socialism was faithfully implemented. Yes, that's true. This is true. And that I've read that before, that they've done their very best to stick to socialism. According to this report, socialism is a failed political ideology whose most basic belief favors the collective ownership of all property versus that owned by individuals or companies, along with its calling for the state to manage all means of production for the sole benefit of workers. And that really takes a big bureaucracy, right? And is indistinguishable from the ideology of communism. This is true. I mean, they don't want to be known as communists, but that's what they are. That is what the left wing of the Democratic Communist Party is all about. And let me say that socialism always ends in communism. That's the point. That establishes the political framework which socialism exists in, and whose catastrophic legacy over the past 100 years has left 100 million people dead. This is people, once they get in power, they don't want to give it up, and they'll do anything to keep it. They're not always immoral, because the socialism and communism is immoral. Vladimir Lenin said the goal of socialism is communism. So communism killed more than 100 million people in the 20th century. In 100 years, 100 million people. Why would you take a chance? They say that there's a better form of it. Nobody's ever been able to implement that, because it's never happened. So they think that they can do it. But you look at the people in Congress that want to turn us towards socialism, and you see brain dead people. So, you know, how can they possibly lead us in something that they've never accomplished? Did Clinton accomplish it? No. Did Obama accomplish it? No. Both of them did their best to destroy the country and the economy. And along comes a guy that doesn't believe in socialism or communism and is doing something that is totally unheard of. By the grace of God. I'm not giving him all the credit. It's all the credit goes to God. God can put a monkey in there if he wants to, and he can turn things around. I'll take a monkey over quite a few presidents we've had. Though the American people have been indoctrinated to believe that nation-state socialist communism originated in Russia upon the ascent of to full dictatorial power of Vladimir Lenin in 1917, this report notes nothing could be further from the truth. As the first world leader to implement this failed and destructive ideology was the 26th president of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt. Upon the assassination death of President William McKinley. By the way, they're big on assassinating people in order to take their place. They're big on this. I'm not saying that's what happened here. I'm just saying they are big on this. Assassinating people, well, I don't think you you have to study very far with the Clinton legacy to find out why people are dead, right? Lots of people are dead, and they don't mind wiping out old communities. They've proven that too. So, upon the assassination of William McKinley on the 14th of September 1901, this report explains he was succeeded by his vice president, Theodore Roosevelt, and whom immediately upon taking power declared all-out war against America's corporations and moneyed elite banking and financial class. And in the Green New Deal of his day, unilaterally seized over 250 million acres of land from its private owners to create what is known now as the U.S. National Park System. And during his second term in office, this report continues, Roosevelt attempted to force on the United States his full socialist agenda, but was stopped by doing so by his own Republican Party, who in 1908 ran for the presidency their new candidate, William Howard Taft, who became the 27th President of the United States. Not giving up on his socialist dreams for America, however, this report details, Roosevelt sought the presidency again in 1910, but after being blocked for nomination by his own Republican Party, realizing how far left he was, created a new one he named Progressive Bull Moose Party. Progressive, that's where they use that term today. The result of which saw Roosevelt winning 4.1 million votes, 27%, compared to Taft's 3.5 million, 23%, and was won by the Democratic Party nominee Woodrow Wilson, who gained 6.3 million votes, 42% of the total, and a massive landslide in the electoral college of 435 electoral votes to become the 28th president of the United States. Most important to note about Roosevelt run for presidency in 1910, this report says, is that he swapped out the name socialism for progressive. With his explaining his reason for doing so during his infamous New Nationalism speech by saying he didn't want to be called the communist he actually was. Well, you know, progressive sounds good, but socialism is not progressive at all. It's never been progressive. The only thing it progresses is control over people and killing people. They make a lot of progress in that order. So, whose speech adopted in its entirety for the Socialist Party platform for 1912 and was a call by Roosevelt to the American people to give up their freedom and be ruled by Washington only. And for reasons that he stated, such as, this means that our government, national and state, must be freed from the sinister influence or control of special interests. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm a special interest, and you're a special interest. We all have our special interests. And when people have interests in progressing and in doing a better job and in serving more people and in being blessed more for doing so, there's a motivation, especially for the natural man. Again, I say Christians don't need the same motivation. They've got a motivation to please God. So they came together in the book of Acts, and there was equality. Everybody's needs were met. It can only work if it's a thing from the heart, not forced down from the top by a bunch of gangsters. Okay, that's the only way it can work. And so, it's not forced in Christianity. It's something that you grow into, this equality, you know. And it's a thing from the heart. It's giving from the heart. It's not under the law. Notice that. They came out from under the law to enter into this interest that they have in promoting everybody and picking everybody up, right? But involved in that also was God's warning. If a man doesn't work, he don't eat. So there has to be motivation. Some people don't have the motivations of the heart of Christianity, and so they have to be under a little bit of law, right? Well, socialism and communism is more law than any country that's going to progress. In fact, it goes on to say here, exactly as the special interests of cotton and slavery threatened our political integrity before the Civil War, again, this is Roosevelt's idea, so now the great special business interests too often control and corrupt men and methods of government of their own profit. Now, if you want to talk about corrupt men, look at the leaders of socialism and communism. That's corrupt men. Look at how many people died when these evil people came into authority. Now that's the evils of communism. He said, "We must drive the special interests out of politics. That's one of our tasks today." There can be no effective control of corporations while their political activity remains. To put an end to it, we will neither be short nor an easy task, but it can be done. He said, there once was a time in history when the limitation of governmental power meant increasing liberty for the people. In the present day, the limitation of governmental power, of governmental action, means the enslavement of the people by the great corporations. Well, no, it's still what he said first. You know, it's still bondage. And you don't have a say-so. And, you know, like the political left, the socialists, communists, when they take power, first thing they want to do is take away guns because they don't want anybody to be able to defend themselves or say no. They don't want anybody to do that. Now, I'm not promoting guns, but we'll see where this leads us, okay? Though Roosevelt failed in his goal to force upon the American people his socialist agenda in 1910, this report points out his successful tactics to divide his nation's peoples along class and ideological lines. What does that remind you of? Well, that's what socialism does. That's what Obama did. To achieve total political power was most certainly noticed by his socialist European counterparts, the two most important of them being the National Socialist German Workers' Party, a.k.a. Nazi Party, and the Russian Social Democratic Labor Party, also known as Communist Party of the Soviet Union, both of whom were able to take total control of their nations and peoples using Roosevelt's class division tactics, but one of whose most catastrophic results of doing so was World War II. And of course, we can see we're in the midst of a a political world war here. And Obama's now famous for dividing peoples and putting people against peoples, right? Not bringing peace. And a little sign here, he has the socialisms using the S in Nazi, in the Nazi sign, right? Socialism's sick swastika. The S letter stands for socialism. A swastika. National Socialist German Workers' Party. The swastika symbol was chosen and kept because it resembled an ancient German rune above right, used for the letter S, overlapping and represents the socialist joining together as the monstrous National Socialist German Workers' Party. Yeah. So you know where it led. People got, you know, they got all the promises that they still give today. That's what started it. But they lied. Then they took total control, and then they began to take it out on their enemies and destroy their enemies. This is where socialism always goes. Left in the aftermath of World War II, this report explains, were German leaders perplexed and divided as to how to best deal with the popular appeal of socialist ideology that had caused tens of millions of deaths, whose most fevered supporters of just happened to be the majority of population in every single nation. It's working class peoples who were always being manipulated by the greed of their corporate and banking classes. The choice of the Soviet Union was to maintain a strict socialist society governed by communist ideology, but whose massive contradictions of everything being controlled from the top down, thus giving the individual no incentive to do anything independent of the state. And most critically, actually working for a living, you know. And anything independent of the state imploded upon itself in 1991. The choice of Western European nations was to adopt what they called democrat socialist system. It's still the same old thing, different name, you know, which gave their peoples limited freedoms in exchange for cradle-to-grave social services, but whose catastrophic consequence has led to crashing birth rates as people could no longer afford having families. Crushing tax rates, not enough. That's exactly what the Democratic Party wants, is crushing tax rates. Not enough people or companies are left to pay, and stagnating economies that today are nearing collapse. And, of course, all socialist experiments in the past have collapsed, right, ultimately. In the United States, however, this report says they adopted a system of what can best be described as socialism light, that they call a social safety net, which allows their people to have near total freedom while at the same time they're buffered from the worst excesses of capital greed imposed on workers by their corporate and banking class. And even though being a cyclical economic system, having euphoric highs and scary downs, nevertheless, the Americans have been able to maintain the greatest economic engine for wealth the modern world has ever seen. Yes. So, and, you know, if a person wants to have freedom and stuff, you know, as some people call it, and opportunity, you can't go to socialism. You can't go there. Venezuela's a good example of that. They did their very best to bring about real socialism there, and it really failed. With President Theodore Roosevelt's century-old socialist agenda being trotted out in America for another go-around, this report concludes its tactics to sow class division are being amplified by as many other societal fracture points, such as race, religion, sex, you name it. The Democratic Party and their leftist mainstream propaganda media, establishment lapdogs, can think of all of whom are being met by a President Trump who has vowed he will never allow the United States to become a socialist nation. Most particularly because he knows the fact that socialism has never worked, 100 million people have died because of it, and we need a wealthier world, not wealth distribution, redistribution. Facts that were also known by the great President Ronald Reagan, who most famously stated while he watched the Soviet Union implode, socialism only works in two places, heaven, where they don't need it, and hell, where they already have it. So, with that, let me go to another article. And also, what does it mean? President Trump continues exposing the true horror of socialism for all the world to see. Here's a quote from him. Wherever true socialism or communism has been adopted, it has delivered anguish and devastation and failure. Yes, so true. And death. So true. Okay, according to this report, socialist communism is the failed political ideology that between the years 1917 and 2017 killed 100 million people, whose power behind was able to wield by socialist leaders who are able to divide their nation's citizens apart from each other. Identity politics, they're calling it. While controlling every word their citizens say, political correctness, they're calling it, and whose historical main enemies are religious institutions, these socialists have led an all-out battle to destroy throughout the West. As Soviet Russian socialist leaders quickly learned through this report continues, the wholesale destruction of religious institutions could never be accomplished without giving people another existential, which means concerned with existence, reason for functioning in a society and whose answer foresaw that these socialist leaders keeping their peoples in continuous fear of the West. In other words, we've got to give you a boogeyman, got to give you something to worry about so you will listen to us and not pay attention to what we do. Likewise, the West, this report details, its socialist leaders used unremitting fear of Soviet Russia and World War II to begin the destruction of their religious institutions. But by the late 1980s, saw socialists the world over cringing in fear as the Soviet Union began its implosion to collapse. Knowing that Russia could never belong to them again, as after the collapse of the Soviet Union, Christianity became the foundation upon which the Russian state is founded. I don't believe that. I believe it's still religion. Yes, they call it Christianity, but there's very little Protestant Christianity involved in it, although I have to say that they seem to be more Christian than our Western Catholicism and lesser denominations. You know, we need to get back to the Bible. It's the only thing that works. Western socialist leaders began a frantic search for another existential prison that they could herd like sheep their peoples into, and that on the 30th of June 1989 they revealed as being a new and totally made up science called global warming, and whose revelation to the world, direly reported by the socialist led and controlled United Nations, gravely warned. A senior U.S. environmental official says entire nations could be wiped off the face of the earth by rising sea levels if the global warming trend is not reversed by the year 2000. Well, I do believe we will see people wiped out by rising sea levels, but for a totally different reason than global warming. Okay. And on the tipping of the planet, too. So coastal flooding and crop failures would create an exodus of eco-refugees, threatening political chaos, said Noel Brown, director of the New York Office of the UN Environmental Program, or UNEP. He said governments have a 10-year window of opportunity to solve the greenhouse effect before it goes beyond human control. Well, nothing that they ever said came to pass, nor Al Gore's videos that he's got all over the place. As the warming melts, polar ice caps, ocean levels will rise up by 2 or 3 feet, enough to cover the Maldives and other flat island nations. Coastal regions will be inundated. 1/6 of Bangladesh could be flooded, displacing 1/4 of its 90 million people. 1/5, on and on and on. It's just a bunch of horror stories to scare people into doing what they say. And the UN made many predictions of disaster, of global warming, none of which came to pass. So much for them being the UN, right? With 30 years of history showing how provable the socialists' global warming lies were, as not a single one of their dire predictions ever came close to being true, this report continues. President Trump began to expose these socialists for the power-mad maniacs they truly are. If you don't believe that, look at history. Everybody that's come into power under socialism and communism was very destructive to its own people and its own economy. That they retaliated against him by launching a fairy tale Russian collusion plot to throw him from power, but that today sees one of its main instigators of the former FBI director James Comey declaring that he doesn't even know if Trump colluded with Russia, and his beyond comically claiming he doesn't even care. Yeah, trying to distance himself, no doubt. In further attacking Trump, this report notes, his Socialist Democratic Party enemies also began hysterically proclaiming that he was single-handedly threatening all the norms that have made the United States Constitution work for nearly 200 years. I know that makes you laugh, right? a beyond laughable claim, as it's these Democrats who, in fact, have begun a sustained attack against the U.S. Constitution over two centuries-old provisions regarding the Electoral College and the Electoral College and the Supreme Court. Going from outright lunacy to downright hallucinating idiocracy, though this report fully notes, the socialists then decided that they'd slam Trump over the head with yet another global warming threat. And as exactly like they did 30 years ago in 1989, saw the socialist-led United Nations gravely warning that our world now has only 12 years left before an unstoppable catastrophe is upon us all. Well, listen, I know that there is unstoppable catastrophes that are almost upon us. It is so true. It's not for the reason that they say. They want to give excuses for the reasons, for reasons of truth, you know, of what's going to really come. The devil is trying to cover it up even now. So quickly seizing upon this latest dire UN hoax warming, this report fully details with Socialist Democratic Party U.S. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who unveiled before the American people her socialist manifesto named the Green New Deal that would place every single U.S. citizen, every building, and every business under complete government control forever. In fact, they're even, you know, demanding that we tear down all the buildings and start over so they can make it more, would you call it prison camp? a despotic and tyrannical style of government Ocasio-Cortez champions as evidenced by her lavish praise of socialist New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, who, after seizing all of the guns from her citizens because she snuck in with a bunch of promises and, you know, was another despotic ruler, saw Ocasio-Cortez proclaiming, "This is what leadership looks like." Yes, I know. They just did a hit job on a bunch of Muslims and blamed it on Trump, but it was them. And who put her in power? Socialist leader Hillary Clinton. So, a proclamation quickly joined by socialist leader Hillary Clinton, likewise praising Ardern for seizing her citizens' guns, and in turn was praised by socialist leader Bernie Sanders. We take away the guns. You can't control people if you don't take away their guns, for goodness sake, you know. Again, I'm not promoting guns as a way. I'm just pointing out this is the sign. This is the sign. If they get your guns, they're going to have a slaughter. That's history. So, with socialist leaders Ocasio-Cortez, Clinton, and Sanders falling all over themselves and praising Prime Minister Ardern's seizing all of her citizens' guns, this report says it's important to note that the guns being seized are semi-automatic rifles that are comically being called weapons of war, a claim that stands in opposition to the fact that any military commander in any army sending his troops into battle with these weapons would immediately be tried for treason, as all of his soldiers would meet quick and certain death from the real weapons of war. That they also are tearing down all U.S. constitutional norms as it pertains to their nation's citizens' rights to have these guns as enshrined in the Second Amendment, which President Trump, of course, is defending as he's sworn an oath to do. And here's a quote from Donald Trump. "The Second Amendment to our Constitution is clear. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed upon. Period," he says. Because he knows a little bit of history, real history. Yeah. Watching as President Trump not only took on these socialist maniacs, but destroyed them too with his report, explains were the once free peoples of Britain, and who on the 23rd of June 2016 voted to separate themselves from the socialist tyranny imposed on them by the European Union. but whose elite socialist government leaders, most particularly Prime Minister Theresa May, have created a deliberate travesty of this UK-EU divorce process, and whose purpose of doing so is their hidden master plan to revoke Article 50, the part of the British withdrawal law that governs the Brexit process, in what's history will record as the greatest betrayal of the British people. With Christian churches throughout the socialist European Union, nation of France being reported vandalized, set on fire, smeared with excrement today, while at the same time the still socialist European Union controlled Britain has just banned a Christian refugee from Iran because they say Christianity is not peaceful. But did allow back into their nation over 400 barbaric, radical Islamic ISIS fighters. And for good measure, now sees Britain also criminally prosecuting a Christian reporter because she dared to call a transgender person what he actually is, a boy. And this report concludes, being lost to these socialist maniacs, peril is how far President Trump is actually prepared to go to keep his vow that socialism will never be allowed in the United States. And as beyond all doubt evidenced by this past September 2018, when Republican Party U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham rushed from the White House to the hearing room where U.S. Federal Judge Brett Kavanaugh was enduring a vile and vicious socialist-led onslaught, and during a barely three-minute back-and-forth discussion between Lindsey and Kavanaugh, established the grim facts to these socialists that, number one, the United States is still in an active state of war. Number two, all U.S. citizens are now under the jurisdiction of both U.S. criminal law and U.S. military law. Number three, U.S. citizens attempting to overthrow the U.S. Constitution can be charged with sedition and or treason. Number four, U.S. citizens committing sedition and or treason fall under the jurisdiction of U.S. military law, the ultimate penalty of which is death. Yes, I remember that. It was pretty neat. I liked it. So, since they all the socialists and the communists must take guns away from citizens in order to go where they want to go. They want to take full control, and they can't do it this way. So once they take the guns, then they've got you, you know. Let me say that the reason I'm sharing this is not because we trust in guns or need them, but the sign that they are of the coming genocide and civil war. Don Litt, he said this in 2009. This is an excerpt from my book, Phoenix Rising, chapter 15, warning that eventually the government will impose gun control as we move towards a more totalitarian state. Yes, this will happen. Doesn't have to happen now, but it will ultimately happen. The Lord has showed us in dreams that, for instance, Trump has been given to us to give us a little time and to remove some of the most murderous people on the face of the earth from government. So this is a portion from Phoenix Rising. But according to today's living constitution ideology, these types of freedoms are being slowly eroded from the people, only to eventually be completely seized through some national emergency. Yes, they always use national emergencies to do what they want to do sneakily behind the scenes. Please know and take these words to heart. When you no longer have the right to bear arms, you will no longer have your freedom. The first thing that a dictatorship does is have the citizens register their weapons. Then they take away those weapons from those law-abiding citizens. You don't have to own a weapon. But as soon as you force everyone in the nation to give up their guns, you stand on the brink of a police state. History consistently demonstrates this scenario to be true. Consider the following information from the book Lethal Laws by J. Simkin and Alan M. Rice. The list is sorted by the date the gun control laws were enacted, the government that established those laws, and the genocide that occurred shortly afterwards. For instance, 1911 for Turkey, their law, and then 1915 to 1917, 1.5 million Armenians were killed. 1929 for the Soviet Union, and then from 29 to 53, approximately 20 million dissidents were killed. And in other words, these are people that oppose the criminal government, because it always becomes a criminal government. And then in 1935, China had its, statement. 1948 to 1952, 20 million political dissidents were killed. 1938, Germany. And 1939 to 1945, 6 million Jews and countless others were exterminated. Some estimate 11 million deaths. There were more Christians that were killed than Jews. By the way, they don't say much about that, but that's the truth. In 1956 for Cambodia, and it led to 1975 through 1977, 1 million educated people were exterminated by Pol Pot's Khmer Rouge. Why do they like to go after the educated people? Because the educated people know what's going on, and they're always against this. Now, you can't call the kids that go to these colleges with these professors who don't know a thing about history and don't know the facts. All they have is this ideology of communism. And then they impart those demons to the kids. Listen, I don't know about you. I did not push my kids to go to college. And I knew and I could see what was going on there. Being poor is more important. I mean, being poor is not a problem compared to them going into college as Christians and coming out as pagans and communists. In 1964, Guatemala. So from 1964 to 1981, 100,000 Mayan Indians were killed. Notice what followed behind their gun laws. They knew what they were going to do before they imposed the gun laws. We have the dreams on our site of what Obama planned to do in America with his Muslims to wipe out Christianity. God had mercy. That's all I can say. In 1970, Uganda made their laws. In 1971 to 1979, 300,000 Christians were killed. Why do they like to kill Christians so much? Because it's Satanism. It is Satanism. Karl Marx was a Satanist. 1990s, Rwanda tried it, or they did it, and 94 through, excuse me, during 1994, 800,000 Christian Tutsis were systematically massacred by the government-led Hutu military forces. While our government, by the way, looked the other way. It has been estimated that the number of registered handguns in this country is 70 million. Now, again, this was back in 2009. And it's a lot more now. Since Obama was the greatest boom to gun sales we've ever had. Everybody realized, oh my God, I can see where this is going. Everybody went out and bought guns, you know. So 70 million is far, far underestimated now. And the number of unregistered is 50 million. Once again, that too is very low compared to what we have now. In comparison, the U.S. Army only has a small arms inventory of about 4.8 million guns. Yeah. As you can see, before any government could take absolute control of the American citizenry, these weapons need to be seized, as history has continuously substantiated. And one of the methods that have been used to reduce the arms among the citizens is, of course, propaganda. Studies have found that guests on morning and evening news talk shows are more likely to represent a pro-gun control position by a ratio of 5 to 1 to 10 to 1. And during the debate over the Brady Bill, research conducted by the Media Research Institute found that 59% of the network reports were anti-gun, and that only 4% could be considered pro-gun. Further spokesmen, I mean, that's been the press for many, many years. They're overwhelmingly more liberal than the average American. And poison. So further spokesmen in favor of the Brady Bill outnumbered opponents on the four major news networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, by a ratio of 3 to 1. But taking handguns off the streets will make the world safer, or at least that it is what the newspeak media would like us to believe. Consider what occurred in Australia in 1996 when they banned private handguns in the name of public safety. After the citizens turned in their handguns, there were increases of homicides by 3.2%, assaults 8.6%, robberies 45%. In the Australian state of Victoria, gun homicides have climbed 300%. All this because they took up guns. Okay, interesting. 25 years, so nobody goes back and looks at history, looks at what actually happened. And they still say this today, even though there's absolutely no foundation in the statistics, right? 25 years prior to the gun bans, crime in Australia had been dropping steadily. England followed suit in 1997. And in May of 2004, the British government reported that gun crime in England and Wales nearly doubled in the last 4 years. Serious violent crime rates from 1997 to 2002 averaged 29% higher than 1996 and showed increases in robbery by 24%, murders 27%. The violent crime rate in Australia and England is now doubled what it is in the United States. And again, that was then. It's worse now. Thomas Jefferson, fearing the oppressive governments and being a student of history, warned Americans against ever giving up this right. He said, "No free man shall ever be debarred the use of arms. The strongest reason for the people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is, at a last resort, to protect themselves against tyranny in government." Now, am I fully supporting the world's need for guns? No, I'm not. I'm saying that the world is full of lost people. And some of them would be considered by the world as, quote, good people. And the good people don't necessarily know that God is a Savior, that He can deliver you, that He can keep you from ever getting in a situation like that, all these good things that God promises in His Word. But the so-called good people, they lean on guns to protect them and to keep their freedom and so on and so forth. So you can't deal with America and other nations as though they're Christian. The motives of a Christian are totally different from what we call good people. of the world. Totally different. And so we don't need guns, but they believe that they do. And they don't have their faith in anything else. And the bad guys don't like guns. They don't like breaking into someone's house if they don't know the guns have been taken up, right? So we have to use some common sense here. How do we do socialism, for instance? Socialism does not work on unregenerate men because their motivation is not there to work harder and to be what they call progressive. Socialism is anything but progressive. I mean, history proves. So lost people need another motivation, right? We don't need a motivation like that. We trust in our God, and He is faithful. So one more thing, and then we'll want to pray. This is a little article by a man named Craig Huey, and it's called The Failures of Socialism. And there's Marx, and there's Engels, and there's Bernie Sanders' picture right there at the top. The Failures of Socialism. And this was March 15, 2016. And he says, Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, all are advocating different forms of socialism. But socialism, by its very nature, creates poverty, stagnation, and oppression. Socialism requires a strong, unresponsive federal government. Unresponsive. This is contrary to liberty and free enterprise, which focuses on the private sector. Local control and finally, state governments. Hey, while I'm at it, let me point out that in the Bible, Jesus gave advice to the rich people. Be ready to distribute. He didn't command them what the socialists command. He wanted them to have a heart to do this, to desire to distribute, to meet needs. The socialism does not promote any kind of a reward in the kingdom of heaven because people aren't motivated to give to other people. The system we're about to go into, I believe, is going to be the greatest time of giving to the needs of others that we've ever experienced. And it is a redistribution of wealth that's coming, not at all like what Obama and Hillary planned, thank God. But there is a redistribution that's coming. It's going to not be without pain. It's going to bring some pain because we're moving from one economy, which is collapsing, to another economy, which I believe is better and more honest. But by the way, folks, let me say that we're headed towards the mark of the beast. They're going to use everything. When you say you're going to march people down to Gitmo and take care of this problem, just remember, one day we are going to be the criminals, according to them, you see. So every advancement that you make that seems to promote and help the right wing, they're going to use against us one day, and including the mark of the beast. In the United States Constitution, and throughout American history, the federal government has been assigned a limited role which focuses on nation defense and enforcement of the law. Socialism requires an inefficient and ineffective bureaucracy. Here's a few examples. A, the United States Post Office faces a crushing $102 billion debt and benefit liability, with ongoing discussions about reducing days of service to 5, even to 3 days. So that's kind of a little socialistic experiment that has failed. Government doesn't do those kinds of things best. Okay, competition does those kind of things best. Okay. B, Veterans Administration hospitals. Patients have died on secret waiting lists. Administrators have not only been held, not been held accountable, but oftentimes get raises and promotions. C, Department of Education. States are required to comply with overbearing mandates and regulations in order to receive federal funding. Socialism kills innovation and progress. There's a new cancer drug just announced that would never have come out if not for free enterprise and the profit motive. That's true. Absolutely true. The carnal man has to be motivated, and he's going to be motivated in carnal ways. And Christians don't, you know, lean towards that kind of motivation. So we can't deal with the world the way we deal with Christianity. They still need those kind of motivations. And yes, of course, they think that they're looking for their cancer miracle drug. Well, we already know what it is, right? It's Jesus. All right, so I don't know. I think the last time I read, about 450,000 people a year die from iatropic causes. And that's doctor-related, medicine-related causes. And I don't think the Lord's ever made a mistake like that. Even though they say that's how he does it nowadays. No, I don't agree with everything here, but get the motivation point, okay? The investors and scientists will see as much as $10 billion in sales of this drug. It will make some people rich and save many lives. These innovations in technology, drugs, and inventions require a free people, not shackled by bureaucracy. I would have chosen myself to use a different example because their success is not nearly as good as what they say. And as I say, cursed is the man that trusts in man and maketh the flesh his arm. There's always a curse in it. And you can push it around and move it from here to there, but it's still there and it's still going to bring you to death. Faith in the Lord is the thing that's going to save you. His word says, by whose stripes you were healed. It's already paid for. Can you imagine a politician, a bureaucrat, the DMV, for example, inventing anything? No. They take, but they don't create. Socialism relies on a federal top-down approach that can't beat the free market. A free economy is self-correcting and costs nothing more and requires no further intervention. Stimulus dollars just create billions of dollars of waste, a massive government failure. Socialism creates redistribution of wealth rather than creating more wealth along with innovation and jobs. Socialists think of the economy as a pie, and central planners have to divide up what already exists. In a free economy, the pie gets larger so that even the poorest become richer. And that's what we're seeing under the economy that's come in with President Trump. As we've left the socialist way of economy behind and we've moved more in this direction, we've become richer. But also, let me say, this is no reflection on the methods of the economy today. Things are going to go downhill. Not for the reason that President Trump was wrong in departing from communism. That's not the reason it's going to go down. The reason it's going down is we're swapping from one economy to the other, and you have to destroy one in order to bring the other one in. And they're trying to do a job in order to make this bump in the road easier. It's not going to be easier for some people. It is a redistribution of wealth. In other words, the top down is now going to be a different top than the top down was. Okay, so some people are going to suffer. There's going to be a shuffling of the deck, so to speak. And this we know. Now, let me say that in a few years, people may blame this on Trumpism in order to swing the pendulum back in the other direction. Hey, let me point something out to you. The Lord is in control. If he wants to put a bunch of people in jail, he can turn them over to communism. Just as he had grace this time and put President Trump in there, which everybody said was not going to happen, in order to bring us out as a sign of his grace. Not because we deserved it. We did not deserve it. As a sign of his grace, he put the man in there to do a good job and to bring us out. Okay, he can just as easily, 3.5 years from now, you know, turn the whole world into a socialistic nightmare. And even sooner, if he wants. Or if, let's say that the tribulation tarried for a year, year and a half, or whatever, and stretch this out a little bit, they're going to blame the terrible things that are going to come upon planet Earth, which do destroy economies, but have nothing to do with the methods of Trump, right? They're going to blame all that on the right wing, right, and the Christians. And guess what you get in the middle of the tribulation period? Persecution against the Christians. And the world standing by while the beast government makes war against the Christians. Because they have villainized the Christians. Because they supported this thing that's ultimately going to fail for a different reason than what the world is saying. If you get what I'm talking about. So there's bad things coming. And I, for one, I'd rather be under this economy that we're moving to if the world's coming to this catastrophe than I would under the other one. We're much more likely to survive, you know, under this new economy than under the socialistic economy when these things happen. So people are finicky. They blame everything on the last president or whatever, you know. But I, for one, I'm glad that we're going towards the tribulation with what we're moving into than the other way around. So, number six, socialism has a history of failure. Nazism, National Socialism, is in Germany, fascism in Italy, communism in Russia. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So if you put all of the power, take it all away from the people, and put it in the hands of the government, they will be corrupted. And when they get corrupted, there's nothing you can do about it because you gave up your guns. Talking to you Americans, I'm not talking to you Christians. Gave up your guns and you don't have any authority, right? So, but they know that. They know where they're going. They know they have to control you. They are demon-possessed. So, yes. The genius of the United States Constitution prevents the failure of centralized power, which creates coercion and dictatorship. Nowhere in recorded history does democratic socialism not lead to political and economic distortions. Consider the economic chaos in Greece. Massive layoffs, high unemployment, failed pension systems, bank freezes, rioting in the streets. Consider also Venezuela, where socialist policies have led to rationing of food and water, rationing of toiletries and other basic necessities, devaluation of the nation's currency, massive closures of small businesses, and the flight of investment and capital out of the country. Right, because if you're into investment and capital, well, you can't live under a socialist law. And so, I mean, you go downhill quickly, and they'll take it from you. I mean, they nationalized what a lot of Americans actually built down there in Venezuela as far as their oil industry. They nationalized it. So what happens, I mean, had the people known that, they wouldn't have built the industry there, right? And, of course, it went downhill. It always does under socialism. He says, Zika mosquitoes are socialism's gift to the world because Venezuela was so bankrupt that the country could not pay its doctors or provide a necessary infrastructure to preserve and protect the health of the country's inhabitants. Bernie and Hillary want to grow the government and find all their solutions in the federal government. And, of course, they can steal more that way. You know, they have the control. They are insider traders. And they know everything before it happens, so they get to make themselves filthy rich, and everybody else gets increasingly poor. And find all their solutions in the federal government. They ignore the intellectual and economic bankruptcy of socialism. Instead, they want the following. $3 trillion more in taxes needed. Okay. Interesting. And I remember, this was March 15, 2016. They wanted 50% increase in government growth, size, and coercion. So $3 trillion more in taxes needed. That, you know how much $1 trillion is? I think I saw on the internet somewhere how much $1 trillion is. It's if you put money, $100 bills on a pallet, stacked it up 4 foot, 5 foot high, something like that. I think you'd fill something like an acre with those bills. This is a lot of money we're talking about, you know. And they wanted $3 trillion more in taxes. This is where socialism has to go. They can't multiply your money. All they can do is take it from you. Yeah, I mean, a government takeover of practically every industry. Sanders even admits that he does not understand why consumers have choice. Why have so many different sodas? Let's have just one. Why have some kinds of shoes? Let's have just one. He wants us to look like the Chinese, I guess, you know. As you can see, socialism sets everyone back economically, reduces freedom of choice and individual liberty. Learn something new. Let me know. Yeah. Well, you know, this is it. This is the history. And seemingly, these people are not smart enough to learn from history. You know, it's just amazing. They're just not smart enough. This is an ideology. It's like a religion to them. But it's also a very greedy religion. You know, they want to be the cream of the crop. They want to be on the top end of this thing. And they're promised that if you're up there, you will be taken care of. And excuse my language, but to hell with the rest of the world, right? That's where they are. And it's greed. And it's from its very foundation, Satanism. We have discovered more so in the last few years than ever before that the leaders of this so-called democratic society were all into Satanism by and also sacrificing children and into all their sex things and all that stuff, you know, such a bunch of garbage. It's amazing and it's astounding what's been found out and what President Trump is, of course, fighting against to bring down this evil. And, you know, it was the same way in Hitler's regime. There were many homosexuals in Hitler's regime. There was a lot of perversion. There was a lot of sacrifice. There was a hardening of the heart so much so that killing people didn't bother them a bit. Just like this bunch. This is Satanism. No, it's not socialism. It's Satanism. We need deliverance, right? We need help from the Lord. You know, we've been fighting this battle for a while now. Here in our morning prayer meetings, we come together and we mention the evils that are out there in the government and the evils that are going on against Christianity. And we pray against these. We exercise authority against these. And I know that many of you out there are doing the same thing. You pray. You exercise your authority. You exercise your dominion. And this is, of course, a good thing. And we're seeing success. We're seeing things turn around. Again, this is a temporary turnaround. I've admitted that from the very beginning. The tribulation is coming. And when it does, of course, things are going to, the pendulum is going to swing back in the opposite direction. So, but we have this now. We have this short time in order to get prepared to preserve a people and to raise up a people and to teach a people and be ready to bring forth the gospel, which puts people's faith in a totally different direction than in the government. There will ultimately be no good governments. And if you say good, there is none good but one, and that's God, Jesus said. So there is no good governments now. There are better governments but than others, but there's no good governments. But anyway, speaking from a natural viewpoint, the government we've got now is being so much better to its citizens than the bunch of criminals that we've come out from under. And of course, they're getting caught one right after another because socialism is criminal from its very foundation. Its nature is criminal. Socialism cannot work in America. It does not fit with democracy. It does not fit with the Constitution. That's why they constantly eat away at the Constitution. And constitutional judges like Antonin Scalia, they get in the way. So they take them out. You know, there's murder in their midst constantly trying to. This is the way they overthrow America for their greedy gains. So we need to be the salt. We're here to be salt, right? And in those days, of course, salt was preservation. We're here to preserve. We're here to, through our prayers, change things around us. And if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast under the feet of men, right? Which is what the tribulation is all about. It's bringing the church, which has lost its salt, under the feet of men. And eventually in the middle of the tribulation, Revelation 13, the beast makes war on the saints. And by that time, the Antichrist spirit has involved so many people that there's nobody to resist, right? And the only thing we've got to trust in is God. Okay? So, Let's exercise our faith. One thing we've been doing is the Lord impressed us that the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to do service for them that are heirs of salvation. And in Psalm 103, of course, they are the Lord's ministers that go forth and fulfill His word. Even when it's spoken out of our mouths, they go forth and they fulfill it, right? And, of course, He tells us there, too, forget not all of His benefits. That's one of His benefits, that we are called the sons of God. And He gave us authority and dominion in this earth. He put all other dominions under the feet of His body, and He made Jesus to be the head of that body, the very lowest member, according to Ephesians, of the body of Christ, is over the dominion of the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and their minions on the earth, right? So we're exercising that authority. I shared with you one day how the Lord spoke to me. He said, send the angels. And I said, Lord, what should I send them to do? And so I asked the Lord for a word, and I flipped my Bible open, stuck my finger down on David. And I'll just read. I started reading right there. David, do all that is in thy heart, for God is with thee. I said, wow, Lord, I'll take that one. That's awesome. And that wasn't the last time I got that. I got that again one time later when I was asking the Lord something. And He just reminded me, you know, John 15:7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, it shall be done unto you. This is the advantage of having the word in your heart, because Christ is in your heart and He can do the work. He is the Son of God so that we can be a son of God, right? Amen. So we, of course, have been exercising this authority, and we've had dreams that have pointed out, you know, the angels who are waiting for us to give commands concerning the overthrow of this criminal leadership, this criminal government, that they're waiting for us to give the command so that they can go forth and do it. These dreams have pointed it out very plainly. And, of course, we've been doing that, believing that that's exactly what's going on. And we've actually, brethren in our midst, have watched the angels go forth immediately upon our commands and come right back, because it doesn't take them long to deal with the situation, right? And so I believe that's one of the reasons that Europe, socialist regimes in Europe are falling one right after another and around the world. First of all, they're looking over here at this and they're saying, wow, we'd like to have that, you know. And so Trump's a hero around the world, you know, even though we know it's God doing it. You know, He's getting a lot of the credit. But anyway, so we can exercise our authority over these socialist regimes. At this time, God is permitting it. He is showing us that He's permitting it by answering our prayers in this regard. So, you know, let's put our faith together. Let's pray a few prayers, okay? Well, Father, we see these dishonest criminals still ruling in government, losing favor with the world constantly, because they're comparing what they're seeing going on over here and what they're seeing happen when the Muslims are permitted to do every kind of sin and evil and get away with it in their countries, destroying their countries, an invasion from Satan. So, Lord, and we prayed against that. We've seen that get better. And we just ask, Lord, that more people join together with us in faith and exercise their authority. Jesus said, whatsoever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatsoever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall in any wise hurt you. So we have this authority. We need to exercise it. He said, you have not because you ask not. So we need to exercise it. And the angels are there waiting for us to speak in agreement with the word and the will of God. And when we do, they go forth and they handle the problem. So, Father, we come together against these criminal regimes that have really bad plans for planet Earth. And these are very foolish people because they cannot even learn from history. And so, Lord, we send forth the angels to destroy and bring down these evil regimes that rule over people, that give favor to an invading force to come into their country to destroy their social life and to destroy their lives, to destroy their jobs, to burn their cities and do things that are totally permitted by demon-possessed socialistic leaders. Lord, we know that Satan is behind all of this and that he is the one who executes the curse upon humanity. In times where you give grace, Lord, you give us authority over him and over his minions as we take it today, Lord. And we command the angels to go forth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and bring down these socialist, communist regimes that are ruling over their people. And in many cases, the guns have already been taken up in many of these places. And so, Lord, we just send forth. We know that we can talk till we're blue in the face. We can try to do this politically till we're blue in the face. But we know that the angels can bring it to pass in the name of Jesus. So we send forth the angels together. We send forth the angels to bring down these criminal regimes, to raise up their people against them, to overthrow them in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for absolute and perfect victory in this regard. It will, of course, make it easier for us when the tribulation does come, if we have more vibrant economies and when judgments that come even before the tribulation come, if our economies are strong, they're going to be less likely to totally collapse. So we thank you, Father, for helping us to pray. We ask, Lord, that you put it in our hearts and our minds to pray and to agree together on these things. We thank you for doing that, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, also, we ask that you put it in the hearts of your people to pray in tongues, because even when we don't know exactly what we should be praying, your Holy Spirit doesn't know how to pray ignorantly, let me say. So, Father, we thank you for your mercy towards us, your grace towards us. And we thank you that your angels are going forth to bring about this bringing down of the evil regime. And Lord, we ask you too, Lord, that you would grant us to be fervent in prayer, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. So we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would put this fervent prayer, that you'd put the knowledge of the authority that you have given unto us, Lord, into our hearts, so that we can demonstrate to the world your power. Lord, the Satanists have raised up one of the best proofs I've seen of President Trump doing what you want done is the fact that the Satanists have raised up three major times around the world and agreed to curse him, and it totally failed. I mean, It brought a lot of discouragement to the poor Satanists when they realized that their God wasn't stronger than our God. So, because, of course, when they announce what they're going to do, the Christians go to praying and to casting down their authority, which they don't have. We do. And we thank you, Lord, for demonstrating that to the world, that you are the Almighty God, and they are nothing. And every time they've tried to curse Trump, they've just ended up blessing him. I mean, you, Lord, you say, I forget who said it, but bless thou, let them curse, but that bless thou. You know, let them curse, Lord, but you bless. We thank you for doing that, Lord, in Jesus' name. You've given us a victory. We stand on your victory. In the name of Jesus. Another thing I'd like to pray about, I want to first share with you. You know how we discovered that all through the Bible, Babylon made war against God's people. And different ways in which they did that are always mentioned very commonly in the Bible. And we know that pestilence was one of them, and we've seen that being released. I think we're going to see worse than what that we've seen so far released as far as pestilence is concerned. I'm quite sure of it. The deep state is cornered. It's angry. They are desperate. They don't care anything about human life. We're just flies to them. And the sword. They're raising up in this country, of course. The deep state people don't mind killing Christians, and like at Las Vegas and so on, we can see that. That they're are burning down a city called Paradise. We can see that. They don't mind killing people. So the sword. But one of them was a famine. And I've been saying for several years now that their weather control weapon against what they desire in the government, because they are truly trying to bring down this government, their weather control has taken moisture from the West Coast and dropped it on the East Coast, or towards the East Coast, central to east. In order to destroy the bread baskets. And, of course, as you know, California was totally drying up and cracking up. And then they sent the very opposite of that, which was absolute and total floods that are once again taking down that huge dam over there. It's breaking up, and it's, again, a disaster at a disaster point. And either way, whether it's, cracking up the soil or flooding it, you don't have crops. And, of course, the same has happened over here. It's that just flood after flood after flood, never getting to see the sky because of their chem clouds, you know. And the farmers are hurting. I want to share this article with you. And it is warfare. To bring about famine. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about who's doing it. Okay. Government warns of historic widespread flooding through May. Food prices to skyrocket as thousands of farms are destroyed. And there's a picture here of the Midwest here. 2019 U.S. spring flood outlook, and it's terrible. So we've never seen catastrophic flooding like this, and the NOAA is now telling us that there will be more major flooding for at least two more months. So how they they know what they're going to do, right? On Thursday, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration warned that historic widespread flooding would continue through May. More than 90% of the upper Midwest and Great Plains is currently covered by an average of 10.7 inches of snow, and all that snow is starting to melt. That means that we are going to transition from one of the worst winters in modern history to a flood season that has already taken an apocalyptic turn for farmers all across America. At this moment, millions of acres of farmland are already underwater. Thousands of farmers are not going to be able to plant crops this year. And thousands of other farmers that have been financially ruined by the floods will never return to farming again. This is already the worst agricultural disaster in modern American history, and it's going to get a whole lot worse. So, as you can see, they have been doing just what I've been saying for several years, and that is destroying the crops to bring about a famine. Okay. And he goes on to say, I posted an article about this crisis yesterday, and I am troubled by the fact that most Americans don't seem to understand the gravity of what we are facing. Millions of bushels of wheat, corn, soybeans have been destroyed by floodwaters. Hundreds of millions of dollars worth of livestock have been lost, and all of us will soon be feeling a lot more pain at the grocery store. And this would be a complete and utter national nightmare, even if the flooding was all over. But the NOAA just told us that we should expect more catastrophic flooding for the next 2 months. And they should know. It's a disaster. The bread baskets are being destroyed. In fact, the NOAA is using the words unprecedented flood season to describe what is coming. And they are warning that more than 200 million people are at risk. Forecasters warned the floods would likely to continue through May and could worsen in the coming weeks. This is shaping up to be a potentially unprecedented flood season with more than 200 million people at risk. Ed Clark, director of National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's National Water Center in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, said on Thursday in the agency's Spring Outlook. It's a disaster. And who's behind it? Yep, you know it. The socialists. Of all the natural disasters that we have seen in recent years, this is the biggest. And U.S. food production is going to be dramatically affected because many farmers will not be able to grow crops at all in 2019. The reality of this isn't going to be over for a very long time. Jorgensen said it took years after 2011 for people to come back. For me as a farmer, there are flooded acres here that to think that I'll be able to plant a crop in 45 days is just virtually impossible. And many farmers will never recover from this disaster at all. According to one farmer in Iowa, somewhere around half of the farmers in his entire county will not be able to come back from this. I would say 50% of the farmers in our area will not recover from this. Dustin Sheldon, a farmer in southwestern Iowa's flooded, devastated Fremont County near the swollen Missouri River, said this week. I said it yesterday, and I will say it again. This is the worst blow to U.S. agriculture that I have seen in my entire lifetime. The amount of food that has just been lost is absolutely staggering. Due to the trade war, farmers are storing more wheat, corn, and soybeans than ever before. And now the floodwaters have destroyed much of what has been stored. As prices plummeted this last year amid the ongoing trade flight, growers faced with selling crops at a loss, stuffed a historic volume of grain into winding plastic tubes and steel bins. Some cash-strapped families piled crops inside their barns or outside on the ground. Farmers say that they are now finding storage bags torn and bins burst open, grain washed away or contaminated. Jeff Jorgensen, a farmer and regional director for the Iowa Soybean Association, said he has seen at least a dozen bins that burst after grains swelled when they became wet. Yeah. And according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, any wheat, corn, or soybeans that are contaminated by floodwaters must be destroyed. I know that I shared the following quote yesterday, but in order to give you an idea of the scope of the losses we're looking at, I want to share it again. As of December the 1st, producers in the states with flooding, including South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Minnesota, Iowa, Missouri, Wisconsin, and Illinois, had 6.75 billion bushels of corn, soybeans, and wheat stored on their farms, 38% of the total U.S. supplies available at that time. And according to U.S. Department of Agriculture, date. Okay. And remember, the flooding is just getting started. In just one county in Iowa, 1.8 million bushels of corn and soybeans have already been destroyed. Nationwide, the losses are off the charts. Needless to say, prices will be going way up at the grocery store, and they will keep going up for the rest of the year. Another reason why, saints, that if you get a windfall from the Lord of money, it's going to be needed. Not only for housing, refugees, because we're going to become a nation of refugees. Not only for housing refugees, but feeding them. So, sadly, even after the floodwaters are gone, the damage that has been done to our agricultural infrastructure will take years to repair. As the waters began to recede in parts of Nebraska, the damage to the rural roads, bridges, and rail lines was just beginning to emerge. This infrastructure is critical for the U.S. agricultural sector to move products from farms to processing plants and shipping hubs. The damage to roads means it will be harder for trucks to deliver seed to farmers for the coming planting season. But in some areas, the flooding on the fields will render them all but impossible to use. In Nebraska alone, hundreds of miles of rural roads have been completely washed out. And farmers such as Annette Bloom are having an extremely difficult time just getting to a main road. We are having to travel 3 miles through pasture and croplands just to get out because our roads are gone, she says. And the cornfields are going to be devastating to get in and plant and get that going. Because usually we're planting within the next 2 weeks and it's not going to happen. Many of America's farmers will bravely keep going after this disaster, but for many others, a financial breaking point has arrived. Farm bureaucracies that had already surged to the highest level since the last recession prior to all of this flooding, and now this crisis will end up driving many of them away from the profession for good. The following comes from NBC News. Some farmers in Fremont County will probably not return to till their soil. Many farmers here said, lots of folks won't be able to continue after this, said Julius Schaff, 66, who said 1,500 of his 4,000 acres were currently underwater. In the end, it is going to be a while before we know the full extent of the damage to American farms and to our food supply, but all the experts agree that it will be unprecedented. Food prices are already high, but the truth is that this is as low as they're going to get. Much less food will be produced in our heartland this year, And that will mean skyrocketing prices at our grocery stores. And this is just one element of the perfect storm that is emerging. Our society is starting to be shaken in many different ways. In 2019 is certainly shaping up to be a very interesting year. All right, bad news. Well, Father, we know that our God shall supply our every need according to his riches and glory. We proclaim it out of our mouths. With the heart man believes into righteousness, with mouth confession is made unto salvation. We thank you for providing our every need, Lord. And, Lord, let this be also a demonstration to the world of the salt, the people who are here to preserve, the miracles that God can do. We've got many miracles in our, on our website, testimonies of what God can do to stop forest fires from taking people's homes out and so on and so forth. And floods are the same thing, you know, floods too. Lord, we thank you that you've given us dominion. We ask that you get people to praying, Lord. And Father, we thank you for healthy lives. We speak that no foreign germ or foreign enemy that the enemy can throw at us or spray on us from the sky can touch our bodies. In the name of Jesus, we have the health of Jesus, because reconciliation has been made, the exchange has happened, and now he bore the curse and we are free. We are free to be healthy because by his stripes we were healed. So, Lord, we confess you before men. We thank you that our brethren out there, Lord, who are suffering from different maladies and different, you know, spraying or shots or whatever, you know, poisonous medicines that are supposed to be healing them, whatever, Lord, we are delivered. We are healed. We are blessed. We thank you that our bodies are blessed and our bodies are being restored day by day. And, Lord, we come against the enemy in this country that would bring about starvation, that would bring about famine. We cast down their efforts in the name of Jesus. We send forth the angels to reveal each and every one of the people that's involved in this and is guilty to bring it to pass. This is a good way to drain the swamp. We send forth the angels to prove who did this and why they did it, and what criminals they are. And we send forth the angels to reveal every other part of society that is antichrist and coming against us in order to destroy. We thank you, Lord, for bringing down of Babylon. Lord, you sent Cyrus to bring Babylon down, and it's happening, and it's going to happen. And the Red Sea may just as well be a Red Sea of this criminal government and the faction criminals that are persecuting your people. The Red Sea is going to bring all this down. And there will be a celebration on the other side for your people who have endured in faith. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for delivering your people out of evil and from evil government. Thank you, Father. Thank you for everything, Lord. And show us, give us wisdom, Lord. We know that you multiply the fishes and the loaves. We've had dreams like that. In fact, we have one just a few days ago was given to us, how that God, they were told to go and pick up certain things at the store, and when they brought them home, they got multiplied. And we thank you for that, Lord. We know that you're going to do that to show your power, your mighty power, and how much you love your people, that you would do a miracle to preserve them. Thank you so much, Lord, that, evil governments will go down in the Red Sea, but your people will come up on the other side. Glory be to God. We thank you for absolute and total victory over the enemy, Father. We speak it. We send forth the angels to do it and to bring it to pass, and we know it's done. You said all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. Lord, we believe we receive. And Lord, we're also going to love to see your miracles of provision for your people, Lord. your miracles of multiplication of the food, of the fishes and the loaves and all these things. We've seen these, and we're going to see it in a lot bigger scale in order to preserve people. But what a witness to the people of the world that the power that you've invested in your people, the authority that you've invested in your people to stop this destruction. And thank you, Father, that even as we speak, the angels are going forth to apprehend the culprits and bring them to justice. And thank you, Lord, that the D-class is going forth little by little, and that the criminals will be brought to justice. We stand on your word. We've asked you to do this, Lord, and we know you're going to do it. And we believe it and we receive it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, you told me, David, do all that's in thy heart, for God is with thee. So, Lord, we endeavor to exercise the authority that you gave to your children and to the sons of God. We endeavor to be fully awakened to the authority that has been invested in us by the Lord, by the Word of God. And we thank you for doing that, Lord. And Lord, please have your people pray without ceasing concerning the things, the injustice that they see, the criminals that they see in authority, and so on. And the needs of your people and the holiness that is needed for the bride to be chosen. All these things, Lord, I ask that you keep your children, our brethren, in prayer, Lord. Thank you so much, Father. We put our trust in you. We claim the victory in all things. You said all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them. And we do, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Well, all right, saints, this was a little bit different today. Please exercise your authority and come against the forces of darkness, because we're going to have the victory. And also pray protection for President Trump and the people around him who are fighting on the forefront of this battle in the flesh, I should say, while we fight on the forefront of the spiritual battle and the principalities and powers that are using these wicked people. So we thank you, Father. We already been promised a victory in Luke chapter 1. Our enemies are already conquered. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, all right, saints, we'll do this again sometime. Many blessings to you. We'll see you later. Good night.